You're listening to Inside a Podcast, and it's me, your beloved host Adil, with me, my dear colleague Umberto.
Hello everyone, and today in the podcast we're gonna talk about the situation about coronavirus all over the world with our guest Molly, who is from China and can tell us more about anything that is happening in China.
Hey, I'm Molly.
Okay. So coronavirus has been recently a quite annoying thing, which is slowly leading the whole world to a close down. And today, like, I'm gonna go straight to the point, Molly. So there is a rumor saying that coronavirus was the Chinese biological weapon and that they were testing it on bats, and one of the bats escaped, flew to Wuhan and initiated the virus spread. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I think that's a rumor. Because people in China, Chinese people, think is actually U.S. government caused the whole thing, the whole circumstance. I don't know. Probably some people would say it's because Chinese people eat bad. That's partly true. And probably that's why they got the virus as well. But we haven't actually got a real source from that. We have to investigate more about it.
Yeah, well, that's actually quite interesting thing to see how the whole world reacts, how everyone is beginning to create rumors and all kind of conjectures, and no one knows the truth, which is just an interesting concept to study. What do you think?
Yeah, I believe that's what we're going to talk about, is more information about different people with different nationalities and how the coronavirus impacted them. We are going to talk about is not informing about the coronavirus. It's more about opinions from different nationalities, from different cultures, and understand each other more. Because we think that information and open-minded conversations actually help to keep calm and stay focused on what we're doing and not act irrationally. So, Molly, what I want to ask you is, how is the situation in China right now, and how did the Chinese react? What's happening?
So basically, the first case that they discovered in China was found in the early December. But by then, the government was still trying to cover it down. They tried to like hide away this kind of virus away from people, so they didn't actually tell everyone that, oh, okay, actually we have a coronavirus in our country or whatever. Until the mid-January, the government finally said, okay, it's out of our control, so now we have to tell everyone. Everyone have to be quarantined at home. The whole Wuhan city is locked down. And until then, people in China started, they know it's a really serious situation, because this coronavirus is not only a flu. It started actually it spread really quickly and affect the whole Chinese economy. And then till now, the whole country has been quarantined. I mean, Wuhan City has been quarantined for more than 2 months. And people, I live in the really south part of China, and they're probably 300-400 people in my city got infected. And so people in my city just stay, they're not allowed to go to work. And if they want to go out to a market and buy food, they have to wear a mask. Otherwise, the government gonna get you and send you into jail. I don't know. And now I think the situation in China is kind of under control now. The infected people kept on decreasing. The number of infected people kept on decreasing every day. So I think it's under control kind of. But it's still a really important, but we still have to pay attention to it.
So, do you have any information about what's happening to the people that are not following the rules, or to the people that just go to work and then don't follow what the government says? Does the government give any information about that, or it's just as we think from outside China, is that China is just a dictatorship that doesn't give the freedom to people? Like, it's not as free as the other countries are. So what do you think about that?
Well, that's true. But for me, I'm Chinese. I have been living in my country for like 18 years. And I don't know, for me, it's the same to live in the UK, Hong Kong or China. For me, it's the same. If you don't touch on political activity, you'd be fine. But around me, I haven't heard of anyone that didn't follow the rules that sent from the government, I think, is because how we were rise up, and in the country, people just they just follow the instruction from the government. So I don't think anyone has been, rejected to follow the rules. If they are so, we're not gonna know because the government's not gonna announce it.
Yeah, what I think about this podcast is it's really interesting to see the different perspectives from Italian, how the Italians organized the whole quarantine and containment of the virus, and Chinese, and also the Russians' perspective must be really interesting. Yeah. And we are gonna ask to Adil later on, because I'm from Italy, and we are in a state where we didn't live in since the Second World War, probably.
And you probably didn't expect it to get there like that quick.
No, we didn't. But I think the main problem is that many people didn't follow the rules. For example, I'm gonna give an example. At the start of this contagious virus in Italy, we had only a few cities that were under quarantine, right? But some people from those cities just went out. They didn't follow the rules. And for example, one guy who came from one of those small cities went to ski. He broke his leg, and then they found out that he had coronavirus. So there is not too much responsibility by some people, and that's why the virus spread so much. That's a really big problem. But I think also the virus, not without looking at Italy with the virus is helping also as Italians to see what's wrong with our system. For example, the sanitary system is imploding, not because we are not good in what we do in the medicine, but just because in the recent years the public sanitary was cut as expenditure from the government. The doctors, there are not sufficient doctors. So that's one of the problems. Another problem is that came out during the coronavirus spread is the problem of jails. In fact, all over Italy, 27 jails were affected by revolts, by those who were inside the jail. And this clearly shows problems with the how we treat the jails, what's the government expenditure in those problems, and also the security that we have. We have that problem.
About the jail, the same thing happened in China as well a month ago. The coronavirus spread around in the jail, brought in by a police, so the whole jail, basically most of the people in the jail got infected. So I think our government have to think about that as well.
The difference is that in our jail, no one got infected, or at least from what I've been informed to, no one got infected. The problem is that the government limited the meetings between family and those who were in jail. Therefore, those people revolted and they wanted to be able to meet their family. That's why. And many people also escaped from the jails. That's something that didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know if it happened in China. but overall, it's every Italian is really upset about this situation. We're not used to it, and it's just a mess.
Yeah, I think everyone is quite upset about the situation, and especially in Italy. Your shelves in the supermarkets are empty because there is kind of crisis and everyone is panicking.
No, actually, that's not true. At the start of the spreading of the coronavirus, yes, people rushed to supermarkets to buy food. But now the situation in supermarkets is normal, and the people. I've called my grandma, for example. My grandma went to buy supermarkets to buy food. In the supermarket, and the supermarkets are organized in a way where only 5 people can enter in the supermarket, get their things, put gloves on, and go away. That's how it's how the situation is. But for example, in the sanitary, the reason of why we have to contain this is that in the hospitals, there are people that are not affected by coronavirus, and that maybe have a heart attack. Okay, and then the doctors will have to leave them die, let them die, because they cannot cure them, and the family of that person cannot visit them due to the fact that they cannot go in a hospital and risk to be infected. So that's really a big problem in Italy, and that's why most of the people now are home, because they realized that we have to be responsible in that moment. And many people thought, oh, it's really hard to be in quarantine, you have to be home, it's really hard to stay at home. But that's a sacrifice that we have to do. And I believe not only in Italy, but soon in all over the world.
Yeah, I think one point Umberto mentioned is very important, that we realize our responsibility of it, because many of my friends around me, they were saying, oh, we're still young, we have a really good immune system. So even though we got a coronavirus, it should be fine. But I want to mention that it's not only about you, because if you stay in the school or if you go back to your family, you spread it around to the people around you. And if it's really unfair to the old people in your family or some newborn baby, because it's a really big possibility that they got infected and they die. So that's the point we have to think about. And so we have the responsibility. Just stay home and quarantine, isolate ourselves.
Yeah, it's just kind of the thing is that when like it comes to some people not understanding the responsibility, government imposes regulations to control the situation. And for example, this is what happens in Russia. When you arrive from category one countries, which are currently Italy, China, North Korea, and probably Japan. Yeah, I don't know that. But the thing is that you have to put yourself into quarantine, which is called self-quarantine, and you have to stay at home, and like you're going to be controlled by some police people or video cameras. And if you leave the quarantine or break the rules of the quarantine, you're going to be imposed a fine. And if your actions result in mass contamination, in mass people getting the virus, or even in somebody's death, you're going to be put into jail. And again, that's quite a good thing, because it just controls the situation. And yet, like, it causes problems for us students who now have Easter holidays and we want to get back home for any purpose which could arise.
Yeah, another problem, I don't know in the other countries, but another problem that I saw in Italy was about communication, right? Communication in what the government said, in what the doctors said, in what the experts said. This is because, for example, from outside Italy, I read newspapers and they say, oh, Italy is in complete lockdown, no one can move, no one can exit, no one can. That's not true. Because the government decree that acted the 9th of March, basically said that no one is prohibited to go out of their house, but they shouldn't do it. Moreover, there's nothing against going into shops and buy dress and clothes, etc. So the government decree is really vague. It's not that Italy is complete lockdown, it's just that people should stay at home. The only thing that is prohibited is gathering of many people in a specific place. So another problem with that communication is that everything is really vague. There are people saying one thing and there are people saying another thing. Also, for example, also about the nature of the virus. Example, I think we all saw the tweet by Mr. Donald Trump saying, "Oh, it's just a flu. They kill the only the people are die more for flu than for coronavirus." But that's not the point. I think that belief of the coronavirus being just a flu came from experts and other people saying, "Keep calm because and think rationally." So I believe the communication is really important, because that's not the problem is not how many people die. Yes, it's a real problem, but the problem is how contagious is it? And due to the fact that, as I said, in Italy, in the sanitary, in the hospitals, there are people dying not because they have coronavirus, but because they cannot be cured due to the fact that hospitals are full.
Yeah, it's just because it comes to the point when the communication between the media and the reality isn't perfect. And so it just generates panic, which really puts lots of facilities, institutions, and people under unexpected, but like quite annoying situation that, for example, schools have to close down because it's because they don't know the risks. They don't even know their risks because there is so much uncertainty. For example, I forgot to mention that in Russia, yesterday, or I think 2 days ago, except of those countries, except of the category one countries, which are Italy, China, North Korea, also Great Britain and US was put in the list of the quarantine zone. And literally yesterday, Iran as well. And literally yesterday, they removed US and Great Britain. So it's kind of like jumping around and not knowing what to do. And this uncertainty is just making things much, much more complicated.
Yeah. What I also think the problem in, I saw in Italy. In Italy now, we see other countries not being infected by the coronavirus as in Italy, and it seems like many people think that other countries are lying about their numbers, especially at the start when China was at the start of the coronavirus infection. Many people believed that China was hiding numbers. What do you think, Molly, about this?
Yeah, I kind of, because I was one of the people who actually doubt the government didn't actually publish the real data at the beginning, stage of the coronavirus outbreak in China. Yeah, I was talking to my mom, and my mom, she's really truly believing the government. And she was arguing with me about how the government would never try to harm them. The government just don't want to create panic. But for me, I kind of doubt it because it's such a large population in China and the government really should tell the real data and tell their people, okay, actually that many people have got infected, so you have actually, you have to take it serious. And now I think the government, I'm not sure if the government's still trying to hide away something right now, but what can we, but because after 2 months work for the whole like lockdown of the whole country, now the situation is actually turning better. Wouldn't say really good, but turning better. I'm not sure if the government trying to hide away something, but that's what I see from my point.
Is there, there is an hypothesis that not only China, but now also Germany, UK, US are hiding the numbers due to the fact they are scared that the economy could have a great impact. It could have a negative impact on the economy. Do you think? Are they hiding numbers or?
Well, like, to be honest, I think we don't know that, and it just pulls up the question whether we trust our governments, whether we trust statisticians. But I think nobody knows because, again, like, there are a lot of things which kind of show you the map of the whole world and show you the cases, how many cases there have been in, like, each country. But again, how do they know the exact number if lots of people... don't even know they got the virus? Because again, there is a problem of the incubation period, and there is a problem of it's not really a problem, but there is a fact that some people will not just experience the symptoms of the virus and it will just wear off, but they would potentially infect someone. So again, we cannot talk about data because it's just situation as such, I think.
Also, what happened in the really early stage in China is because the government don't have enough tester to test out the coronavirus, so that's why many people, they got infected, they are in the hospital, but we don't have enough beds, and the hospital didn't actually test them positive of coronavirus, so their data isn't in the actual data of the country. So that's probably one of the reasons. And I think it's you don't need to actually think about the data, whether it's actually the true or it's not the true of the data that the government published, because what the government trying to do is just to stabilize the economy of the country and also try to just not make their people panic, because panicking is never good. Like, you have to actually think rationally against the virus, even though we know it's really important.
Yeah, and one of the problems is that in Italy also, half of the people are panicked due to the coronavirus. And half of them didn't care because there was this misinformation of the coronavirus being better than a flu, and that's a real problem. I think not many people believe
you said coronavirus being better than the flu.
No, like there are many people that thought so, There are people that thought that the coronavirus was nothing, that didn't kill anyone, etc. Yeah, but we don't think much about, at least the people, about the possible long-term consequences, which are eventually an economic recession, especially in Italy. Due to the fact that I've informed myself about the possible impact, economic impact of coronavirus on the global economy and the Italian economy. And what I found out is that I'm not an expert, so I've been informed by the knowledge of other experts that in Italy it is currently really difficult to predict what's going to happen in the economy. For sure it's going to be a recession, but not, we don't know how much it will be, due to the fact that we don't know how people are behaving against the coronavirus. So one way was if Italians remained at home 2 weeks ago, the economic impact would have been much better than what it will be now. And that's what happened in South Korea. I mean, in South Korea, the infected people are stopping in a rate per day, and that's one way. But the main thing is how the relationship between what the economic impact will be and the information there is between people. Because people before believed the coronavirus was nothing, and now all of a sudden coronavirus will kill everyone else. So that's one thing.
Yeah, like when it comes to economy, there's been a devastating impact on the global economy, like especially my country, Russia, because our currency has depreciated quite a bit, and it's because like everything has slowed down, trips abroad have stopped. And that's a really big problem for Russia, because we have dominating like imports compared to exports, so that we depreciating currency means bad news for us. And again, nobody knows what will happen. Yeah. We're expecting a recession, I guess.
Yeah, the global. I've informed myself. So what will happen to the global economy? Basically depends on the impact of the coronavirus. If the impact of the coronavirus is like the 1968 Hong Kong flu, the experts expect minus 1% in the global GDP.
So not recession, I guess stagnation we expect.
No, recession is still minus 1%, it's still a recession. Instead, if the virus will impact the society in a much worse way. So, for example, the 1918 Spanish flu. Then we have to expect minus 5% in the GDP, which is devastating to the economy. So, yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, because you guys are talking about how long will the virus actually last? Because the same situation actually happened to China and Hong Kong 10 years ago. In originated from my city, it's SARS virus, and the virus actually lasted for I think nearly a year to actually get the whole country to actually start it to recover. Mm-hmm. And for coronavirus now, even more, because it's spread around the whole world. And for China, even though the government is really really trying, but the whole Chinese economy is actually stopped or probably going back within this 2 months, because no one can actually go to work. Everyone have to stay home. So no one's actually, the production is stopped and everything stopped. And I don't know how the government's trying to deal with it, because I see the US stock market yesterday as well. Is I think it's ruining the whole world economy. I don't know, probably Italy, because before the virus, your country is in some trouble.
Well, it is, because we know that, I guess, global economy is dependent on China. So, like, if China is in stagnation, then the whole economy is going to have a bad time.
Yeah, definitely. Italy was already in a stagnation situation, unfortunately. So that's going to it's going to be a really great recession. And the fact that the European Central Bank today confirmed that if we don't do anything against the virus, if Europe doesn't do anything against the virus, it will be a recession like the 2008. And we all know what the consequences of 2008 recession were for example, in Italy, just I have knowledge about it. I don't have knowledge about the other countries, and you may tell us how it impacted your country. But in Italy, we had the problem of trust in Europe, in the European Union. We have the problem of Greece. We have the Greek crisis. We have populism coming into Italy. And the crisis of the euro. So that's, I think the what I'm more worried is about the long-term consequences of this virus on our economy and our society.
Yeah. So well, I guess the picture doesn't look promising so far, but again, I think that's the thing humanity has to go through and just experience to get stronger, I would say.
Yeah.
And just, yeah. So should we end or should we talk about something else?
I just wanted to talk about the Chinese economy, and if your do you have any members of your family there in China currently?
My whole family actually has a business in China, and it has been really bad for us because as what the government say, no one should be working during this period, but we still have to pay for all the rent, interest rate, and all the wages for our workers, even though they're not working, but we have literally no revenue in. So it has been really hard for many Chinese firms and factories and some companies.
Yeah, and
just by the way, about the interest rates, like European Central Bank announced that they're going to lower the interest rates too.
Yeah,
which is good. It's going to fight the recession.
It's good, but also there is this speculation in Italy that the central bank will that the EU will allow Italy to go over the 3% limit of the budget deficit, and the banks will allow the stop of repayment of mortgages and loans. However, yes, there are negative impacts to this after this coronavirus, but I believe there are also positive sides to it. A few, of course, but it was better without it.
For example,
you know, all of the smart working, the education. For example, in Italy, we have now students that are studying at home from their computer. And I think that is one of the steps we will have to do eventually. And now we're forced to do it, and we can learn from it, and we can learn how to improve in that sector. Moreover, another positive impact is that the carbon emissions are lowering, so the pollution is low. Of course, these are really few positive impacts and may not be sufficient enough to balance the negative sides, but nothing is everything. Nothing is always bad. There is always a negative side to it. So I believe we can finish the conversation.
Yeah, I think we can. It's just like our objective was to enlighten you about different perspectives and to just bring up the discussion of the whole thing.
Yeah,
because I don't think we brought up so much new information, but it was just interesting to listen about the thing.
Our aim was not to inform about the coronavirus. It's not about giving suggestions. It was just to give different perspectives about different nationalities. That's our aim.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up and stay tuned for our next episode, which is going to be about something cool.
Something cool,
I promise you.
Thank you very much, and goodbye.
Thank you, bye.